Great. Well, welcome. Thanks for making the time this evening. Appreciate it. And it's good to be here. And we're going to be looking at multiplying dynamic life groups at 3CI. That's the theme, if you like, for this session tonight and tomorrow morning. And they're going to be, it's going to be an interactive time. There's going to be five talks and then five group sessions. This evening we're going to look at two talks and two group sessions. Okay, so the plan will be for the first talk to be about half an hour. We're just going to do an overview of what is the vision of life groups, what is the vision of small groups in Scripture, what is the purpose of life groups, and then we're going to do a group discussion around that. And then we'll be looking at the dynamics of life groups as the second session. And I'll be looking at the initial part of that in terms of welcoming people and worship in a life group. And then we'll continue with that, the dynamics tomorrow. In addition to that, tomorrow we'll be looking at leadership in the life group and developing people in the life group and to come through and to lead with us. I've chosen this title of multiplying dynamic life groups because what we see in the Scripture is God is a God of order. He's a God of objectivity. He's a God of design. And where His life is, there is health. And where there is health, there is growth. And where there's growth, there's multiplication. And so God, if you like, in terms of the Trinity, is His own small group. Yeah, He's omnipotent, He is transcendent, He is beyond us, and yet He models for us this thing of that community. And the reason that God sent His Son was to bring mankind back into community with Him, because that had been fractured as a result of sin, but also to bring us back into community with one another. Okay, so it's a vertical community, a relationship, and a horizontal relationship. And because of Jesus, we can enjoy that in a new and restored and magnificent way. He's the heavenly man. He's the life source. He's the open well. He's the purpose for our being. Yet, if He's not with us, let me repeat myself. He's the one who brings fruitfulness. When we abide in Him, there's fruitfulness. He's the dynamic of our world. He's the center of everything. And He's the one who's brought life to us. And so if we're not in Him, we're not going to multiply. If we're not in Him, there is no dynamic. And if we're not in Him, there's not going to be no life. We're just going to have groups.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. That's right. You know, if He's not the center and if it's not all about Him, then we're no different to the pub on the corner. And so we need that horizontal relationship, but the dynamic that comes to us horizontally comes through a relationship vertically with Jesus Christ. He is the heavenly man, the heavenly man. He's heavenly, but He's come down to earth. He's brought the heavenly community down to humanity. How awesome is that? The God who is beyond us, transcendent, has actually come down to earth to be with us. And talk with us and commune with us and change our lives, transform our lives because He loves us so much. It begins with Him. It ends with Him. And everything else in between must be about Him. Okay. So let me just say this. If Jesus is the center of our small groups, then there'll be certain values in our small groups that will be central. One, we will be sacrificial because Jesus is sacrificial. Jesus models sacrifice. This detail is not in your notes. I've just given an outline. They'll be sacrificial. Our lives will be sacrificial because Jesus is sacrificial. We'll be willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of Christ and His kingdom. If He's central, it will be His will that we're going after, not our own. Jesus modeled that for us Himself. He said, "Father, Your will, not mine." Yeah. If He's central, joy will be at the center. Because in His presence, is fullness of joy. Yeah? If he's central and we keep him central, when we're driving to the life group after a busy day at work and we feel dog tired, we'll make a choice to rejoice. We'll turn the tape on or the CD on, or they put the iPod in the ear, whatever. Oh, earphone, thank you. Okay. As you can see, I'm very technophobically in touch. So there will be joy at the center of these groups, yeah? And where Jesus is, there'll be joy at the center. If Jesus is central, there'll be generosity at the center. Because he gives everything. If Jesus is central, there'll be love at the center. And so those are just some things. Keeping Jesus central all the way. And if we do that, we'll come in with a smile on our dial. And we'll come in to be a positive edifier in the small group. Making a contribution. But we come together to orientate ourselves around Jesus Christ from week to week in our small groups, to remind ourselves that even when we do come in dog-tired and we have needs that need to be met, that it's actually him that we're coming to. We reorientate our lives again around him as the center of the hub of our lives. We come dependent to allow him to lead us forward, and we leave better for it into going into new arenas of faith. So that's the first thing. Secondly, life groups are where real face-to-face friendships are developed at a deeper and lasting level. Yeah, a deeper level where we go beyond the small talk, which is not bad. You know, anybody who's married here will know that, you know, small talk is very important for your wife. and for the husband too, yeah. But it's true. It is true. That is important conversation. We need to connect. And we'll talk a bit about that later in the evening, about the importance of just actually connecting. Because if you can't connect at a superficial level, you're going to struggle to connect at a deeper level. But we need to go deeper. And so small groups provide a forum, an environment where we can be real. Where we can do serious things together, study the Bible, share together around God's word. But also we can do light things together, you know, have a barbecue. Play a game around the dining room table. We get to know each other, and in the course of doing both of those kind of activities together over time, we open up to one another, and the defenses start to go down, the masks start to come off, and we stop maybe pretending and kind of defending ourselves, and when we start to open up ourselves more to one another. And we start to kind of communicate at a deeper level. And we start to understand more of who we are. There's a greater vulnerability, greater transparency, greater openness. But that takes time, doesn't it? Because we've built trust. And that's one of the key purposes of a small group, is to develop those kind of relationships where people can be real, where we take off the masks, where there's a sense of, I want to be, I am willing to be known, I'm willing to be heard. I'm willing to be become your friend and grow in relationship with you. Scott Peck says this. He says, if we are to use the word community meaningfully, we must restrict it to a group of individuals who have learned how to communicate honestly with each other, whose relationships go deeper than their masks of composure, and who have developed some significant commitment to rejoice together, to mourn together, and to delight in each other and make each other's conditions our own or their own. And so small groups are where we work out those one another commands, those one another statements in Scripture, where we encourage one another, where we forgive one another, where we challenge one another, where we love one another, where we exhort one another, serve one another, etc. Minister to one another. That's where we share life together. The third purpose of a small group is they are where each person is cared for pastorally. And I just put a scripture in there, John chapter 10. It's verses 3, 4, and 9, actually, not rather than 2, 4, and 9, and verses 11 to 14 as well. Again, I'm not going to read that passage. We actually preached out of that a while back. But it's the passage of Jesus being the good shepherd. And he really models for us something there, what it's like to be a caring community. And I mentioned this earlier, but whether a church is 50 or 500, people can be properly and adequately and healthily cared for if they are nurtured and watched over and loved in a small group. Yeah? And that's the power of small groups. I think Rick Warren calls the big celebration, he calls like the battleship, and the small groups he calls the lifeboats. You know, it's a great picture. You know, it's this sense of the big and the small. And we see that in the book of Acts. They came together to celebrate in the temple, and they met together in fellowship, face to face, devoted to the word, in small groups from house to house. It's both and, not either or. You know, so you have some parts of the church today talk about emerging church or other things like that, where they say we don't need structure or we don't need leadership or we'll just meet together in homes and kind of just have fellowship. And maybe you have other parts of the church that just have come together once a week on a Sunday and it's kind of kind of traditional and formal, but they don't have anything to do with each other the rest of the week. Both are wrong. For the Bible, it's both and. Yeah, it's relationship, forging a relationship, and celebrating God and working out life together, being cared for, nurtured. And so pastorally, for us at 3CI, for a person to be integrated into the life of the church, cared for, and shepherded and pastored well, it's essential to be involved in a small group, to getting to know people, building friendships. We want to see people thriving, not surviving. Yeah. We were on holiday a couple of years ago, just for a short while, up in the north of Scotland, and I went out for a walk one day. It was winter, and there was a field nearby. And there was sheep in the fields, enjoying. There was a bit of snow at that time, but they had hay that the farmer had provided, etc., etc. But there was one sheep on its own. And as I walked past there, I thought that there's something wrong with that sheep. And sure enough, as it started to walk, there was a limp, and it had drifted from the flock, and it's a sure sign when a sheep drifts from the flock, there's something wrong. And so we want to see people loved, cared for, and known by name. They're not a number, not a cog in the wheel. They're valued. Yeah. Everyone's valued. We have a personal relationship with God, and we need to value one another. Personally, everyone's got a uniqueness about them, a unique DNA, a unique fingerprint. That's God-given, and we need to value the individual. Yeah? Jesus valued the individual, called them by name, Peter, Bartholomew, called them by name to be his disciple, and yet he reached out to the multitudes. Yeah? And if we're going to reach the multitudes, we need to value every individual. And so a small group provides the environment to do that. Fourthly, these life groups are essential for discipleship and maturity or growth in our relationship with Christ. Jesus' small group began with the disciples following him, learning from him, and from the group dynamic and the responses in the group. They came to him, they saw him, they lived with him, they learned from him. Discipleship is a learnt behavior. It's something we learn. It's if you want a good definition of a disciple, it's a learner. It's an apprentice. It's somebody who walks with someone. It's things that we learn on the job, face to face, alongside. And so that's what a small group is about. It's not about what I'm doing now, teacher, kind of teaching a larger group. It's about learning together around the coffee table. It's about learning together in a lounge. It's a circle shape, more than a fan shaped. Yeah, are you with me? And so Jesus, it's living life together. It's talking together. It's doing life together. It's applying things to life. So it's more of an application and an experience rather than simply a Bible study and a teacher-student relationship. And so let me just simply say this. Nothing is learnt until it is practiced. I believe that's the way Jesus saw it with his disciples. And so he wouldn't let them off the hook until they were doing it. He wanted them to do it. He was blowing wind in their sails to do the things that he was doing. Yeah, I mean, that's what we see, don't we? You know, and that's what I loved again with Mike's ministry with us recently. You know, there's a sense of you too can do the miraculous. You too can minister to others. Yeah, this is doable for all. And the key word is doable. You know, the devil comes to lie in our ear and lie to our, knock on our door and say, no, that's not for you. No, but actually the whole of the New Testament is about this thing of believers rising up. We're all called into ministry. So stand up if you're a minister. We all stand up, yeah? Yeah, absolutely. Are you a minister of God? Yeah, we're all ministers. We're going to do a series at Cafe Church coming up. I want to encourage you to all come along on identity and calling. And one of the things I'm going to highlight is a number of scriptures there about 10 scriptures related to ministry and that highlight that we are all called, equipped, saved for, destined for, prepared for ministry, all of us. And yet we've had the lie of the enemy that says, oh no, it's only for that person, or they're in full-time ministry. It's a lie. It's a lie. We're all in full-time ministry. And so our life groups are like little oasis moments, refueling moments where we are equipped again for ministry and we grow in maturity. And so I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a bit to point number five as well. I'm doubling up here. Let me just say this quickly about what is discipleship. If nothing is learned until it is practiced, here's the application in a life group moment. What we heard on Sunday, how can we put it into practice and live it out in our lives? That's really what it's about. How can we apply what we've heard? In other words, how can we do it? So that we don't just become believers with big cabbage ears or elephant ears. You know, we kind of listen to everything and we get fat, but we don't actually apply it and digest it and become fit with the word and go out and do it and make a difference. That's the blessing and the purpose of a life group. How can I take what was shared on Sunday? How is it relevant to my marriage? How is it relevant to my workplace? How is it relevant to my fathering? How is it relevant to my school? How can I bring this into my daily routine and make it work for me? And that's what we've got to be looking for every time we get together as a life group. How can I make this real relevant and make a difference in my life? Yeah? And if the preaching on a Sunday morning if it's really struggling to make it real, then speak to the preacher, speak to the elders and say, look, get your act together, guys. We're not in the clouds here. We've got our feet on the ground. We have to be able to apply what we're hearing. And so that when we go into the hospital or the school or the university or the workplace on a Sunday, on a Monday morning, we've got something to say to our colleague. Yeah? Right, so the fifth one is, the fifth purpose is biblical small groups or life groups equip people for ministry and mission, okay? Both. That was something of a revelation to me a few years ago when I was reading in Luke's gospel, and it suddenly, I don't know why it took so many years for me to see it, but I suddenly realized that ministry and mission were pretty much the same thing. With Jesus, after he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the Bible says that he started his ministry at about 30 years of age. Yeah, and his ministry was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to open the eyes of the blind, set the captive free. That was his mission. Same thing. And I'm going to come back to this. Let me just throw it up now quickly. This triangle. Maybe draw that in your notes somewhere, because this is going to be a key shape. It's very simple. Over this evening and tomorrow, we're going to bring this in a few times, and I want us to try and get this into the DNA of who we are. This is not anything new, but what I want to just highlight here is the integration of these three things: worship, discipleship, and mission. Maturity, ministry, mission, and magnifying God, okay? And Jesus modeled this. Can you guys see? Okay. Yep. Jesus modeled this in his own life. Up with the Father, in with the disciples, and out in mission, okay? Up, in, out. And the life, a life group or small group is a dynamic group that is concerned about our upward relationship with God and our worship of him and living for his glory. Our inward relationship of encouraging and of exhorting and challenging one another in our walk with the Lord to work out his word practically in our lives, so that the word is working in us. We're working it out. And then also in terms of evangelism or mission out of the group. How can we connect our friends in our workplace, our neighbors, to the Lord Jesus Christ? And in terms of mission, two phrases here where Jesus said the word make. When he called his disciples, Mark 1 verse 17 says, follow me, be a disciple, and I will make you a fisher of men. Two things to get. As soon as you're following Jesus, in Jesus' eyes, you're becoming a fisher of men. It's in and out. And he shakes it all about. Yeah? In, out. In, out. Inflow, outflow. Freely receive, freely give. Yeah? And so we come to refuel at a life group so that we then are fueled up to go out again on mission as a lifestyle, okay? But in addition to the lifestyle that we're encouraged to live evangelistically, we also partner together in mission, and we partner together in ministry as a life group. We pray for one another, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Okay, so life groups are essential for discipleship and maturity in our relationship with Christ, number four. And fifthly, they equip each member for ministry and mission, both in the church and in the marketplace. And just keep this phrase in mind. So we're all equipped to do the works of Jesus. Discipleship and mission, and it flows out of worship. Okay. I've covered number six, actually. Life groups empower and challenge us all to reach out to others with the gospel through friendship evangelism. Okay? That's number six. Number seven. They are lively, fun, and they build family, integrating new members into the life of the local church. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says this. So continuing daily with one accord, unity, in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, there we go, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. So there was life, there was joy, and there was a building of family. Membership, if you like, in a local church is where people are participating together in life together, in reality together, where they are encouraging one another together, where they're committed to the vision of the church, where they're submissive to the elders and the leaders in the church, and as one man, they are getting involved in the small groups where they can make their own unique contribution. So what we see in this Acts 2 passage is just an incredible picture of partnership together, everybody playing their part. That's what membership is. Membership is not having your name on a roll. It's actually playing your role. It's partnership. It's participating. It's being a good functioning, fully functioning body part. I've got a problem with my shoulder right now, and Lynn's trying to do some physio on it, and because if it doesn't get sorted, it could become a frozen shoulder, and I don't want that. It's got to be restored and get healed so it can be, I can be a fully functioning body again. And that word member means a body part in the New Testament. It's used 37 times, I think, in the New Testament, and each of those times it means a fully functioning body part. And our membership becomes real when we start functioning together in small groups. Yeah? Face to face. Hand to hand. Okay. And they are great groups to integrate people into the life of the church. And there's lots of fun. It's dining room Christianity. Eating food. There's no shortage of food in these groups. There wasn't any shortage of food in the New Testament. And there's no shortage of food now either. And you know, God's able to provide food even in amazingly difficult circumstances, and it comes through the saints and with the saints often. Yeah, it's community. You know that word company comes from the Latin word com, which means with, and pani means bread. You know, we get panini. That's where it comes from.
That's amazing.
Yeah, company with bread. That's what it means. So all these companies, you know, it comes from a Latin word which actually means we're going to have a meal together. That's what company is, with bread.
Sandwich.
Break bread. and in the early church, they broke bread as part of a meal. The history to that is the Passover meal, yeah? The Passover meal. So, but they broke bread as part of a meal. It wasn't a somber, serious, you know, clerical, religious, dire, dead affair. It was a joyful, happy, relaxed, relational time around a dining room table.
Yeah.
Jesus was chilled. He was, John says he was reclining when he had that supper with his disciples. You know, he was he was relaxed with his friends, even though there was a problem person in his small group who was going to betray him and try and break up the whole group. He was still relaxed. He was assured in his Father, and he broke bread with his disciples around the dining room table. Okay, finally, final two. Number eight, the purpose of small groups is that they intentionally develop new leaders and multiply to impact more lives and more communities. Okay, and there's a number of scriptures there out of Acts about multiplication. And we'll be talking more about that tomorrow. But God has designed small groups to grow and then sow. And that's part of our church planting DNA as a church. Healthy family reproduction. Yeah, that's the life of God through small groups. And we want to see groups multiplied all over Edinburgh. Leaders coming through. Can I just say that as well? You know, during this time, we're going to talk about leadership and so on. You know, I face this challenge, you know, of we want to open the door to as many people as possible to lead small groups. We want to open the door to as many people as possible to host small groups. But we can't lower the bar of what the Bible requires of us to lead God's people. But neither do we want to make it so high that people think, oh, I'll never make that. Are you with me? So I want to encourage you in this time. Isn't that always the case with the truth that is in Scripture, actually? It's always, in a sense, beyond us. It's always, in a sense, calling us to a higher place. Isn't that true? Of course it's true. You know, God is much higher than us. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. And I want to say, like Jesus said to his disciples, I mean, he had lots of challenges with his disciples, but he still believed in them. Come on. You know, we believe in you and those listening to the CD here, online. And we are challenging you and calling you to rise up, to be all that you can be, because we want you to be all that God's destined you to be. So that actually there can be more homes open. There can be more space made available for the multitudes, for the harvest that God wants to bring in. God's spoken about filling this space that we're standing in right now. We're sitting in this building. Well, we're going to need a dozen more life groups than we have right now, I guess. Certainly double, maybe triple what we have right now, if we're going to accommodate the people that are going to come in to fill in this space. So let us arise and step in. Shake off our baggage. Go forward in Jesus. And he's a good leader, and he wants to take you and make you into a good leader. Okay, number nine. All the life groups run together, following Christ, the mission of the local church, and the vision of the elders with one heart, one mind, as one community together. And let me just say this, finishing off on this thing of the purpose of life groups, the features, is that every life group in a church is unique. It's got its own flavor. It's got its own
food.
Yeah. We're looking forward to you starting a life group, Charles. I think you could call it curry munches or something. it's got its own flavor, its own chemistry. Yeah, but why? Because the people who are leading that group have their own flavor and their own chemistry. That's what we want. We want diversity. We don't want clones. You know, we don't want square bricks all over the place. We want variety. We want living stones. We want the color of God to flow through people's uniqueness. But each group is not on their own mission. They're not independent. They are interdependent, because we're all part of one body. We come together on a Sunday to celebrate Jesus together. We're on a mission together. We have a vision together. We're following Jesus together. We're related to one, have a primary relationship with an apostolic team. And we have an eldership team that's leading us. But we are in this thing together. Yeah, so that's important that we see that in the early church. They met all over the city from house to house, and they came back together with one accord. And that's when there's unity, there's blessing. Yeah. And there's power. And God moves. Okay. Right. Let's go into group discussions. On the next page of your notes, you've got it right there. We're going to look at ingredients or components of healthy life groups. You can have a look at some of those scriptures. Related to Acts. And then on the back of that page, I've started putting a few elements of a healthy life group, and you can add to your heart's content what you feel are some key things in a life group. So the one side is to do with what did they do in Acts? What are some of the key ingredients from those scriptures? And what were the results? And then on the reverse side is what are some key things that you think that are vital for a healthy life group to happen and to grow and to make a difference.